I want to begin today by asking you to repeat with me just a couple of times that first verse that I just read with you from the NRSV version. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Let's try that again. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Let's try that one more time. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. I want to run through that version in a couple of different Bible translations with you this morning as I get going. Here's the King James Version, maybe the version that some of you grew up with or perhaps more familiar with. It reads, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And here's our next version. This is the NIV. "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see." This is the Contemporary English Bible. This is the Bible that has been printed and translated through the United Methodist Church. "Faith is the reality of what we hope for, the proof of what we don't see." And then lastly, this is the New American Standard Version of the Bible. "Now faith is the certainty of things hoped for, a proof of things we do not see." Now, those are all translations of the Bible. Those are some committees attempt to render from the original Greek into an accessible modern English version what that original Greek says and means. But we also have paraphrased versions of the Bible, versions that are not really attempts to translate, but are attempts to capture the sense of what's being said there. And so I'll read a couple of those for you as well as we get going. The first is from Eugene Peterson's The Message. And he paraphrases that same verse in this way. He says, "The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see." Here's how the Living Bible paraphrase has it. "What is faith?" it says. "It is the confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. It is the certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us, even though that we cannot see it up ahead." Lastly, here is the voice. This is also a paraphrase. "Faith is the assurance of things you have hoped for, the absolute conviction that there are realities you've never seen." Now, thinking about those different translations for a moment, it occurs to me that the King James is downright impenetrable. What does that mean, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen? That strikes me as not too terribly accessible or helpful. I would have to sit with that translation for a while and think about what some of those words mean before I could gain any insight on what is being said there about faith. The more modern translations that I just read try to clear up a lot of that confusion. The NASB and the CEB really put a lot of emphasis on the rock-solid certainties that faith grounds us upon. They both say the reality, the certainty of what we hope for, a proof of things we can't see. And yet the NRSV, as well as the NIV, are a bit softer on the certainty and put a lot more focus on the ingredient of trust, the assurance, the confidence of things hoped for, the conviction and the assurance, again, in the NIV, of what we do not see. Is faith about certainty or is it about trust? Is it about how well you and I are able to believe in things that we can't see with our eyes or that haven't happened yet? Or is it about the degree of our willingness to rely on God today, to walk with us through a present where everything that we lay our eyes upon may not be all that there is to see, and into a future where God's promise of redemption and deliverance are still waiting to be realized? What is faith, in other words? And is it most centrally about believing something or living something, or perhaps somehow both? Wrapped up in these different translations, there's some hidden disagreement on that. A couple of them would lead a person to believe that faith is all about how much certainty that I can muster about things that I can't see and don't have access to. A couple of these others shift the focus a bit from the things themselves to the God who promises them and who sustains the present world. Today I'm beginning a month-long sermon series on this chapter, Hebrews 11, this famous faith chapter of the Bible. This is a chapter that takes us on a journey through a whole swath of biblical history with a sharp focus on what faith really means. It starts off with this definition of faith that we read here today, but then spends most of its time on how faith has been lived out, put into action. Hebrews 11 is all about helping us, helping the church, move beyond purely conceptual understandings of what faith means and towards an understanding that is much fuller, much richer, much more lived and embodied than that, toward an understanding that is only really evident when it shows up in how we live. Hebrews 11 on faith isn't a theological discourse on believing. It is a series of testimonies about lives, about people who walked on earth's solid, dusty terrain through difficult days and through trying circumstances. It's a story about what they did when they walked with God through that. It's a chapter that would have us ask ourselves, if I am a person of faith, then what does it look like for me to walk with God through the situations that I am facing today? As I kick off this series with this short passage, a passage that we'll come back to as we work through this chapter in the coming days and months. As I kick off today, I want to call your attention to the fact that there are really just two aspects of faith that Hebrews would have us consider closely together. Faith involves, first of all, the assurance of things that are hoped for, and second of all, the conviction of things that are not seen. The one is about how we face the future, how we live our lives today in light of the assurances that God has promised to us for tomorrow. What does it look like to walk through the long, scary, dark tunnel of life when you trust God for what awaits you on the other side? The other is about how we look at the world around us in the present, a world that at some moments can seem quite daunting, quite empty, even impossible to navigate, even antagonistic. This second piece of faith, as Hebrews defines it, tells us that faith is also a kind of trusting, believing, and acting on the belief that faith is also, in spite of all the things that might hit my eyeballs at any given time that there is something unseen that matters all the more. In fact, verse 3 here today begins with that part of faith. Consider that the whole world, it says, was quote unquote prepared by the word of God so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. The makeup of creation itself is grounds for faith, Hebrews says, because there we learn already that there's more to what surrounds us than meets the eye. The assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things that are not seen. Facing the future, facing the present. Now, we're going to be spending a lot of time on this twofold definition of faith over the month of August and on how it sets down in real life. But today, I just want to begin with one very basic observation. This definition of faith in Hebrews 11:1 does not yet say anything about God. You can put your faith on this definition in just about anything. I want to ask you for just a moment or two to close your eyes, if you will. How are you getting home today? There's a thing in your near-term future that I assume that you both hope will happen and that you have plans for how to make it happen. You have probably put some level of confidence in something or someone that helps you rest confident and assured that by the end of the day today, you'll get to kick off your shoes in your own house and lay down in your own bed. Most of us are probably putting our faith in a car or in someone who's given us a ride who in turn is putting their faith in a car. Maybe there's one or two who are putting their trust in their own 2 feet, that they're going to carry them home. Now let's say you come down with a terrible headache on your way home today. What's the first thing you'll do when you walk in your door? Maybe you'll take a couple of headache pills. Fill up a glass of water. Sit down for a little bit, perhaps. Close your eyes and try to stay still for a while. In other words, you'll put faith in that medicine to get you to the other side of that headache, won't you? You'll give it a little time to kick in, and if that doesn't work, maybe you'll try something else. But now let's also suppose something unfortunate happens on the car ride home. There's a fender bender. Who is your first call? Is it AAA? Is it a family member? Or is it, dear Lord Jesus? And how serious does the accident need to be before Jesus becomes your first call? You can open your eyes now if you still have them closed. You see, all of these different things involve faith. Faith in our transportation, faith in medicine, faith in AAA, and all the rest. These three examples are all of the first type of faith that Hebrews mentions, assurance of what we hope for. That is, what's going to get us where we hope to go? Home, the other side of that headache, and so on. At what point and in what sorts of circumstances, if ever, do we start trusting Jesus? Or say, to engage that second part of Hebrews' definition here, say you find yourself walking into a really uncomfortable situation at some point soon. There's a room full of people somewhere that's just plain hard to be in, but for some reason you're in it. Maybe you're putting your faith in your ability to stare at the clock until it's all over. Maybe you're putting your trust in your ultra-sneaky exit plan. What would it look like to trust that God is present, unseen in that place, and that you can walk with God through that. Faith is the trust that we have for how we're going to face concrete situations in life, for how we're going to travel through real terrain. The scriptures tell us that it is a gifting from God and a big part of growth into spiritual maturity to put faith in God more and more. Here's what Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says. It's one of my favorite pieces of scripture from the Bible. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God." Now, this doesn't mean that we stop relying on cars or stop taking Tylenol. It means that we keep on the lookout more and more for the places where God's hands are reaching out to us for the taking. And as Ephesians says, to be able to take that hand is a gift of faith that is ultimately also a saving gift. It is ultimately something that walks us past the immediate trials of life all the way home. As we begin to open up this discussion together over the next several weeks, I want to ask you to start being on the lookout today and in your everyday lives as you live them this week. What do I put my faith in? What gets me from here to there? What helps me cope? What helps me thrive in a difficult set of present circumstances when those come up? And finally, where are the opportunities to put my faith in God? Let us pray. Wonderful and loving God, we ask this morning that you prepare our hearts. We ask that you prepare us and enlighten us so that we can walk well on this journey that we're about to begin on this topic of faith. And we pray especially today that you would open our hearts to be able to take stock of all the things that we put our faith in on a regular basis, Lord, and what it might be to be able to trust you a little bit more, to be able to take your hand in circumstances where it doesn't always occur to us to take your hand. We pray that you would prepare our hearts for faith. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.